Talk One, Mike Rutter.
So this morning, I'm going to speak for a little bit, then we're going to hear from a couple of testimonies, and then Giles is going to speak for a little bit. This morning, we can't go through lots and lots this morning. Hopefully, as we go through the term, we'll unpack what we are calling the church to, what we think the vision of the church is, what God has given us. This morning is headlines, but I would encourage you to look at the website, look at Spotify playlists that give you more talks and more detail, and you can unpack what this is about. I'm just going to spend a little bit of time talking about this phrase, multiplying healthy disciples and transforming community. I wonder what stories are important to you. Stories throughout the history of humanity are key for finding meaning for people. And you think of the great stories that last through time. And the reason that often they're great stories is because we find something of ourselves in them. They resonate with something of who we are, our humanity. And often, I love a lot of stories, things like The Lord of the Rings, and they're often about a group of people going on a journey. And you find yourself resonating with some of the characters. I don't know if you watch that program, Who Do You Think You Are? Have you ever seen that program? Where people trace their ancestry, don't they? Often celebrities, they trace their ancestry. And they find out about their past. And often they have quite a lot of surprises about what was going on in their past and the people that made up their past. All of that is people locating themselves in a story. What is my story? What is my identity? Where do I fit in? I wonder what you would say is the key story in your life. What story do you fit in? And if there's one thing that I'd like us to really consider this morning and remember is that as the people of God, you and I are part of the biggest and greatest story that there is. And it's the story of a loving God who created the world and who created people and wanted to be in relationship with them and does all he can when those people turn against him to bring them back to himself. And you and I are in that story. We locate ourselves in that story. We're people who have found God. We're people who have been come into relationship with him. And we've known what it means to come back to him. Certainly I do. And you and I are story keepers. We are keepers of this story. And we get to invite people into this story. That's the reason we exist, to know him, to be part of his story, and to make it possible for other people to be part of the story of God. That's what we're about. So he chooses to set apart a people, and that's you and me, to be signs of God's reign on earth, to be signs of who he is on earth. And one of the key phrases is the phrase from Genesis 12, 1 to 3, if you remember, the people of God are, it starts with Abraham being taken and God saying to him, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing for the nations. So important. Called into the story of God so that as the people of God start to live the life that God calls them to, others are blessed and are called into that story. Blessed to be a blessing. That's the story that you and I are keepers of, that call people into. Blessed to be a blessing. And this is key for us as a church. It always has been that we are a people who are seeking to walk with God in that story that he's given us. And the story of our church, St. Thomas Crooks, planting down here, becoming friends with King Center, becoming one church together, the story of planting St. Philip's, of planting Wadsley, of planting St. Leonard's up in Arbourthorne. Have I missed anything, Giles? Any other part of the story? And others. This is all part of the story of God in this church that we are part of. We are on the move, we go together, and we seek to enable others to be part of this story. Blessed to be a blessing. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says this, "You will be enriched in every way." That's you and me. "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." So we're blessed in every way so that through what we are given, we are generous with it so that others will be blessed in every way. So we multiply healthy disciples because healthy disciples who are walking in the story of God become people who transform community because the overflow of the things of heaven start to transform those around them. And people around them are invited into community, want to be part of that community because they see the things of heaven in that place. It's God's plan for revealing the things of heaven on earth, his church. You and me are God's plan for revealing the things of heaven on earth. And it's so much more than people saying yes to belief in Jesus. You know this. I know you know this. It's the fullness of the gospel. It's about ongoing transformation of you and me. As we become his disciples, as we follow Jesus, formed together as his body, together looking like Jesus, reflecting the life of heaven, others are drawn in. And it's God's plan for the transformation and the renewal of all he has made. That's quite a big mandate for the church. It's his plan for the renewal and transformation of all he has made. That's why we want to go after becoming healthy disciples, not just converts, but people who seek to be transformed by him, to become more like him as his people form together so that people get to see a glimpse of heaven through what God does in and through us. So that's our destination. We want to get to a place where we increasingly see more disciples, more followers of Jesus. We want to get to a place where you and me are seeking to do those things which help us to become healthier followers of Jesus. What do we need to say no to? What do we need to say yes to? What practices are we going to prioritize as individuals and as a church that enable us to be healthy followers of Jesus? That's what we're going to go after. And as we do this, we believe that equal to the coming to faith in Jesus, equal to our individual relationships with Jesus, is the call to be a people who through whom things of heaven are seen. And we see transformed community. We see people's lives changed. We see a blessing for people. That's why we've got this phrase up on the wall here from Jeremiah. "Work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I have sent you. Pray for its well-being." Those people who are in exile, those people of God who are in exile, they were called to live the life of God in that place because it would be good for them, but also it would be good for the city. So we're called to be healthy disciples in this place alongside the other churches in Sheffield so that it will be good for you and me, but it will be good for the city. People should be happy that this church, King Center in Philadelphia, is in this city. The Sheffield should be happy. What do you want people in Sheffield to say about us as a church when you say, "I go to this church, I go to King Center, I go to Philadelphia"? What do you want people to say? Do you want people to go, "I'm so glad your church is in our city because our city is better because you're here"? And the only way that we will be that church is as we seek to be, above anything else, pursuit of Jesus, pursuing him, becoming more like him, seeking him. And as we get his heart, we do the things of the kingdom. So it's a vision in terms of a journey. That's our destination, to become more healthy disciples, to multiply healthy disciples, that we ourselves are choosing to do those things which help us to do that. And then from that, we'll transform community. This is the story that God calls us into. It's not one or the other. It's not I like the healthy disciples or I like the transforming community. It's the fullness of the gospel. Tearfund have this great phrase, integral mission or holistic mission is the church living out its faith in Jesus in every aspect of life. Every aspect of life. And then we just move on to the next slide, Duncan. This is a phrase from Leslie Newbegin, who is someone who wrote first on mission, and a lot of people have kind of followed him. It's a bit of a long quote, but I really like it. Jesus is risen, therefore his followers have a new job to do. And what is that new job? To bring the life of heaven to birth in actual physical and earthly reality. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of God's new project, not to snatch people away from earth to heaven, but to colonize earth with the life of heaven. I love that phrase. To colonize earth with the life of heaven. That is our job as the people of God who live in the story of God. So what does that look like? It means we prioritize practices that enable us to become healthy disciples of Jesus. Prayer, community, scripture, healthy rhythm of life with rest, choosing to sacrifice doing some things in order to focus ourselves on him. Times of fasting, denying ourselves from things that aren't good for us, but things that help us to grow in our relationship with God. We will be going after these things over the next year and reminding ourselves of the importance of those things. A way of helping us understand what it means to transform community is to ask the question, what do we see in heaven and what don't we see in heaven? And if we know there are things that are going to be one day be fully realized in heaven, then we go after those things now. And if we know there are things on this earth now that aren't actually in heaven when we get there, we go after changing those things now. That's why we pray the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. We see the things of heaven come to bear now through his church, so people see what heaven is about. What does that look like? Well, there isn't physical poverty in heaven. People have enough. They have shelter, they have food, they are clothed, and they have access to an environment that is beautiful and life-giving. So we go after that now. We challenge where there's poverty, physical poverty. That's why it's so important that one of our values as a church is for the marginalized. Anything which seeks to exclude people, which stops people living the life which God wants to them, we'll go after for the marginalized. There isn't relational poverty. There's three types of poverty. There's the physical I've just mentioned. There isn't relational poverty in heaven. There is community. There are friendships. There is welcome. People are seen and known. So healthy disciples will create community. We'll champion community and we'll do things that include people, welcome people, and we'll challenge systems and attitudes which isolate people or make people feel inferior. So that is challenging things that the racism that we see sometimes. That is being a people that welcomes all people into its community and welcome them in to follow Jesus and to pursue him. And lastly, there isn't spiritual poverty in heaven. People know God and are known by him, and they rest in his love. And healthy disciples model this relationship and invite others to experience friendship with God also. Colonizing earth with the life of heaven, that's what it looks like. So, just finally, the destination, if you think about it in terms of a journey, the destination we are going to is to multiply healthy disciples and to transform community. The two go together. It's not either or. This is the fullness of the gospel as we pursue him. And the way we will get there is if we behave in a certain way. When you go on a journey, you have to do certain things in order to make it to the end of the journey. I once, when I was a teacher, took a coach of children to France. It's a hard life. And I was saying to these children, you must make sure you have your passport when we come through. Please don't pack it in your suitcase. When we go through customs, you have to have your passport. They all had their passport. There was just one person on the bus that had forgotten to have their passport, which was me. which was slightly embarrassing considering how much I'd gone on at these kids about having their passport. We needed to have our passports in order for us to get to that destination. We needed to do certain things in order for us to get to that destination. For you and me, as his church, to get to this place, this destination, we need to do certain things. The three values here, we need to go. So that just means we're moving. We're looking where God is going and we're joining in. And we need to go together. It is not an option for you or me to do this on our own. There'll be times when we can be on our own, but we have to prioritize community, helping each other go on this journey. That's why we will talk about community and the importance of being in community. We have to be Jesus-centered. Obvious, I know, but it's really important it's there. We will not go anywhere unless we are powered by the Holy Spirit, unless we are open. We create those spaces where we encounter him. If there's one thing, one of the things I would love people to say about us as a church is that that's a place where you will encounter God. That's a place where they pursue God with all their hearts. Because we're Jesus-centered, and we know that we will not make this journey unless we prioritize those things that enable us to walk well with him. And lastly, we're for the marginalized. We will go for anything that helps people be welcome in the people of God, and we will go against anything which stops people living the life that God wants for them. And as a church particularly, we are called to go through the work of Food Bank, through the work of Restore. We particularly see that worked out there, but not exclusively. It could be anywhere we find ourselves living as a follower of Jesus. God could use us to challenge those things which make people marginalized. So that's how we'll get there. That's how we'll get to the destination. That's how we will last the course.
Talk to Giles Holloway.
And obviously, there's no way that I can stand up here and tell you everything about how you can be a part of the work of God in this city. There's just so much, isn't there? But hopefully, I can give you some little practical tips and perhaps hinges or some hooks that this church has worked out along the way about how we can do that. So first of all, just to keep you active and alert, there's five ways at which I've drummed into King Centre that we seek to follow Jesus. And so we make healthy disciples together, and it looks like this. So get your two hands, if you've got two hands, hopefully you've all got two hands, and you can pray and fast, okay? But seamlessly, that can then help us to read the Bible. Should have had a clip mic, but read the Bible and invite the Holy Spirit in to hear what he is saying. Now, you'll notice subtly there, we've got pray to the Father, read about the Son, and we've got the Holy Spirit. So we've got the Trinity there, so we're good. And then we need fellowship. You cannot do this on your own. And I say that, it's not just you and your spouse. It's not just your nuclear family. This is extended family, okay? Which involves food and drink. This is a good thing, okay? It may even involve a special meal, which we call breaking bread, okay? Which is symbolic about what I'm going to say. That body and blood that was shed for us. So there's fellowship. Okay, that's fellowship. So we've gone up, we've gone in, and we go out. Okay, on a mission. Go, serve, and share. Now, those hands are supposed to be a symbol of sharing or serving. You could, if you like, kind of do that, however you like to do your hand signals. Okay, so making healthy disciples involves doing it together. And obviously, that's exactly what the disciples were tasked with doing. Next slide. They were tasked with going into all the nations to make disciples and teach them everything and to obey everything that Jesus had told them. And I forgot baptism, which is terrible as a Baptist minister. And so they did the first bit. They got together. They stayed all together. But they forgot to go. And so the Lord was gracious and added daily to their number. Now, adding is good. I mean, we'd like it if God added people to our church, wouldn't we? Yeah? Growing is good. But this word multiplying that Mike mentioned is of a different order. The Greek word for it is plethuno, and it means increasing rapidly. In other words, exponential growth. Now, how did that come? Well, it came the hard way. And Jesus said it would come the hard way. That's why he kept talking about breaking and dying. It came through persecution. So the first time that this word is used is in Acts 6, verse 1. And it's directly as a result of the church being persecuted. The second time it's mentioned, this is good news, it was after they just planted their first food bank. I hope you're encouraged by this. You might see a similar kind of pattern in church life. I love the fact that when Mike was talking about working for the peace and prosperity of the city, there's a dirty great pile of food next to it. It's a symbol to say how this church has been involved in doing this. The third time was in Acts 9:31, where it remarks that they were encouraged by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit started to get involved in the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Stephen was, you know, teleported to the Ethiopian eunuch, and suddenly they began to go global. The story of Paul in Acts 9 getting called supernaturally. That the Spirit is fundamental to the going. And then the fourth time in Acts is Acts 12:24, where there's more persecution. Now, you may feel persecuted. We're certainly not persecuted like some parts of the world. We are blessed. So we've got a chance to go before it gets worse. And how it gets worse is because if we're not bringing heaven to earth, then sort of earth descends into hell, and then it's probably going to be a persecuting place, and we might be recipients of that. So when we can have the freedom to go, we bring heaven to earth, then that place gets better. I've got an apple up there. That apple represents a healthy disciple, if you like. It's fruitful, it's attractive, and the most important thing about it, it's got the seed in it. That seed is the gospel. Now, how many churches, how many disciples are in that apple? The answer is plethuno, or plethora, lots, many, many, many. Because even if one of those seeds goes into the earth and dies, it's going to result in an apple tree, which produces, if it's anything like my apple tree, lots and lots more fruit. And inside every one of those fruit, healthy disciples, there are many more seeds. So we need to go. What does that look like? Well, discipleship happens on the way, when we go. Remember, if you read through the Gospels, how many times has Jesus sat at his own house on his own? Never. All his discipleship of others happens on a journey, out and about, doing the stuff. And so it needs to be for us. So we've heard a little bit, that lovely couple of examples of how we might go and do that. First of all, we have to go out into the world. Now, most of you may have a job, or you might volunteer someone somewhere. You will have social groups. So we do, in fact, go. But we need to go intentionally. And we need support. Ideally, we go in two or more. We go in pairs. We have support. We might have to find people in our workplace, in our social clubs, in our streets, from other churches who are believers. That's why it's so good to wear your faith fortnight make your window stand out, because that's how we connect. That's how we actually find out that other people are Christian. Now, the connections we make in those places are the starting point. Connections, first of all, start with just normal human behavior, just being nice, talking, hearing their story, knowing what makes them tick, being a friend. But over time, those conversations can turn from physical conversations to a spiritual conversation, as we heard with Ralph's testimony. And that conversation then gives you an opportunity to share Jesus with them. Share what discipleship, what a healthy life looks like. And again, as we've heard, as part of this church, we won't be doing just the word bit. We do word and deed. We share and we serve. Sometimes serving comes first, sometimes sharing comes first. But we are the whole package. We are a healthy disciple. We are somebody who it will be fruitful because we do what we say we're going to do. And I love the fact that Matthew 28, 20, which talks about going and making disciples, if you reverse that round, a verse that you might be less familiar with, Matthew 20, 28, is what Jesus said as he was leaving his disciples. He said, I have not come to be served, but to serve. That's what we do. So, what does that look like? Next slide. We come together to encourage one another. We come together for celebrations like this. We go on a conference. You know, these are the times where we are engaged, we are encouraged, and we are equipped to go out. We make sure that we do life in community, whatever that looks like, medium-sized groups, smaller groups, larger groups. We go together. But we also go out to what we're going to call, what we call connect groups. Now, don't think you have to go and call everything you go and do a connect group. Don't go and call your alpha on the street a connect group. But that's what it is. And I've got, if we just live a balanced life, on the next slide, you just see a balanced life means that we have a balance of all those three. It will look slightly different for each of you. But what could those connect groups be? Well, alpha is an obvious one. Connect Cafe is a marvellous one. I sat on Thursday with a bunch of guys from Streetwise and the food bank reading the Bible and praying together. Amazing. It's a discipleship journey for those guys. God's Gangs, Playtime, King's Kids, and any parent groups that go on the back of that, like parenting course. Blokes groups, God's Gangs, hope groups, sports teams, bands, craft clubs, pubs, cafes, workplace prayer. Now, you might say, well, he's just listing the Sheffield What's On guide. Well, they're not connect groups unless you're there connecting. And they're not connect groups if you're not there with a heart to share Jesus and to serve others as Jesus would. But I guarantee you, you cannot fail to create a Christian community in those places if you go faithfully, you pray faithfully, and God is gracious. Because each and every one of those are places where I have prayed, I've read the Bible, I've invited the Holy Spirit, I've shared food and drink, and I've shared fellowship, and I've encouraged them also to go and do the same. Those are not values that you cannot do in any of those environments. So you just simply have to go and do that. And that I'll finish with this. I think in the past, the temptation for us is to say, right, well, found someone who wants to do an alpha course, that's great. Come to church. That's great. We could add to our number. But if we truly go to those places with a view to making them like the kingdom of God, to making them a community, then we also have the opportunity to go for multiplication, to disciple those people. You have to be that one. You are Jesus to them. Not Mike or me or Zach or anybody else. We're no more special or equipped. We simply try and equip you to go and do that there. So that is the challenge. Go, serve, and share. Thanks.
Brilliant. Thank you, Giles. And you got some Greek in, and I didn't.
One word.
It's good, though. It's a very good Greek word. I know you've been hearing a lot. Hopefully, that's starting to help you flesh out something that this is what we are going after. Some of it isn't new. A lot of it is just a reminding ourselves this is what we are about as a church. But what I would love you to do is not just go, oh, yeah, that sounds good, but what is God saying to you? How can you join in with this? How are you already joining in with this? And you want to carry on doing that. And there are the examples that Giles has given there are things that are, so a lot of them are happening already that you could join in with, things like what Ralph was talking about. But we also want to go, what's God speaking to your heart about? Where would you like to get involved and do something? And we as a church, we want to fan the flame of what God is birthing in you. So please do speak to Giles, to myself, to Zach, to anyone who and say, look, I really think this would be something good. And we will do our best to partner with you and encourage that and fan into flame. But what we will go after is seeking God, being Jesus-centered, going together and for the marginalized so that we have healthy disciples who transform community. That's what we will be pushing and talking about and encouraging us into.